We're going to be reading.
In what?
We're going to be reading the Passion, and it will be on page 96.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, word from the heart of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, word from the heart of God.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Can you hold on 1 second? I forgot to ask the kids to go with Mary back into the children's room. Sorry about that. And you'll be watching an animated version of what we're going to walk through today. Thanks, Stephanie. Sorry.
That's okay. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were to take place in 2 days' time. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking a way to arrest Jesus by treachery and put him to death. They said,
"Not during the festival, for fear there may be a riot among the people."
Yes, all the crowd can join with Kate.
When Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at table in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, costly, genuine spikenard. She broke the alabaster jar and poured it on Jesus' head. There were some who were indignant.
"Why has there been this waste of perfumed oil? I could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages, and the money given to the poor."
They were infuriated with her. Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She's done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She's done what she could. She's anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went off to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard Judas, they were pleased and promised to pay him with money. Then he looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to Jesus,
"Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He sent two of his disciples and said to them,
"Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there."
The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they reclined at table and were eating, Jesus said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who's eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one by one,
"Surely it is not I."
Jesus said to them,
"One of the 12, the one who dips with me into the dish, for the Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that one if he had never been born."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, and said,
"Take it. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them,
This is the blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
all of you will have your faith shaken, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be dispersed. But after I've been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee.
Peter said to Jesus,
even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be.
Then Jesus said to him,
amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
But Peter vehemently replied,
even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you.
And they all spoke similarly. Then they came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
sit here while I pray.
Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be troubled and distressed. Then he said to them,
my soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch.
He advanced a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. He said,
Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. But not what I will, but what you will.
When he returned, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing again, he prayed, saying the same thing. Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open and did not know what to answer him. He returned a third time and said to them,
are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up. Let us go. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Then, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd with swords and clubs who had come from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. His betrayer had arranged a signal with them, saying,
the man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him and lead him away securely.
Judas came and immediately went over to him and said,
Rabbi.
And he kissed him. At this, they laid hands on him and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them in reply,
have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I was with you teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled.
And they all left him and fled. Now a young man followed him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth about his body. They seized him, but he left the cloth behind and ran off naked. They led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Peter followed him at a distance into the high priest's courtyard and was seated with the guards, warming himself at the fire. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none. Many gave false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. Some took the stand and testified falsely against him, alleging,
we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another, not made by hands.
Even so, their testimony did not agree. The high priest rose before the assembly and questioned Jesus, saying,
have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?
But Jesus was silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him,
"Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?"
Then Jesus answered,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven."
At that, the high priest tore his garments and said,
"What further need have we of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?"
They all condemned Jesus as deserving to die. Some began to spit on him. They blindfolded him and struck him and said to him,
"Prophesy!"
And the guards greeted him with blows. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the high priest's maids came along. Seeing Peter warming himself, she looked intently at him and said,
"You too were with the Nazarene Jesus."
But he denied it, saying,
"I neither know nor understand what you are talking about."
So he went out into the outer court. Then the cock crowed. The maid saw him and began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
Once again, he denied it. A little later, the bystanders said to Peter once more,
"Surely you are one of them, for you too are a Galilean."
Peter began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know this man about whom you are talking."
And immediately a cock crowed a second time. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." He broke down and wept. As soon as morning came, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes, that is, the whole Sanhedrin, held a council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate questioned him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
The chief priests accused him of many things. Again, Pilate questioned him,
"Have you no answer? See how many things they accuse you of?"
Jesus gave him no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, Pilate used to release to them one prisoner whom they requested. A man called Barabbas was then in prison, along with the rebels who had committed murder in a rebellion. The crowd came forward and began to ask him to do for them as he was accustomed. Pilate answered,
"Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?"
For Pilate knew that it was out of envy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate again said to them in reply,
"Then what do you want me to do with this man that you call the King of the Jews?"
They shouted again,
"Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Crucify him!"
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and after he had Jesus scourged, handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the praetorium, and assembled the whole cohort. They clothed him in purple, and weaving a crown of thorns, placed it on him. They began to salute him with,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
and kept striking his head with a reed and spitting upon him. They knelt before him in homage. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. They pressed into service a passerby, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. They brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. They gave him wine drugged with myrrh, but he did not take it. Then they crucified him and divided his garments by casting lots for them to see what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. With him they crucified two revolutionaries, one on his right and one on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself by coming down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him among themselves and said,
"He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also kept abusing him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which is translated,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"Look, he is calling Elijah."
One of them ran, soaked a sponge with wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to Jesus to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to take him down."
Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing Jesus saw how he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was the Son of God."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger James, and of Joseph and Salome. These women had followed him when he was in Galilee and ministered to him. There were also many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When it was already evening, since it was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a distinguished member of the council, who was himself awaiting the kingdom of God, came and courageously went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was amazed that he was already dead. He summoned the centurion and asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned of it from the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Having bought a linen cloth, he took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, watched where Jesus was laid.
The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus may have been swept into Jerusalem with crowds, palm branches, and affirmation, but being hailed as king was not part of his plan, his aspiration, his mission. When we sang, "Let the King of Glory come," the verses speak of mighty and strong in love, Emmanuel dwelling with us, bright wisdom, love unclose our eyes, key of David open heaven, bring us into your peace. This might is not a political conqueror, someone whose principal focus is governing over. This is Jesus. Can you imagine his courage and deep connection to Abba God to mount that donkey and parade into the city knowing what awaited him? He was fully aware that he'd been rocking boats, both religious leaders and Roman officials. He was intentional and direct about his kingdom not being of this world. He called people to interior transformation of values. And he calls us to this day. When Jesus spoke of the history of the Hebrew people, they interpreted God as a political savior, winning victories for them when they were good and punishing them when they disobeyed and worshiped false gods. Jesus became human to redirect their and our thinking. Rather than an external slavery, Jesus came to deliver us from internal slavery, a slave to our self-interests. The kingdom that Jesus came to serve is not political. It's not one race or religion or nationality. Jesus taught oneness, one people, all his flocks, together in peace and solidarity with love, not power, as the guiding light. Love that cares for the poor, the least, the isolated, the immigrant, the Samaritan, and responsibility for the common good. All, everyone. I believe I've referenced before three kinds of crosses. Ones we behave ourselves into, crosses that life hands us because we're fragile human beings, and three, crosses we choose on purpose as faithful disciples. When we go out of our way, when we sacrifice, when we deliberately give and not count the cost. See this tennis shoe? This tennis shoe was at the Farmers Highland Canal cleanup, and it's very muddy. We had a lot of mud to step in. As we were cleaning up, I was telling the kids that's what we've been doing during Lent, is cleaning up our own stuff. And so when I look at the cross that I, crosses that I was bearing today, it was an act of love to do the cleanup, right? Those of you who are there, it was an act of love for the common good to be out there picking up heaven knows what and a lot of it. So that was the cross of love. I left early because I knew that if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to walk down the aisle today. And that's because I got handed scoliosis when I was born. So that's a cross that I have, but I didn't behave myself into it. And it's not a cross of love. It's one of the crosses that I got because I'm a fragile human being. We look around this room and we have heard the stories of so many people who are suffering. Most because we're fragile human beings. Our grandson's coming this week to have his 6-month tests. And of course, all of us hold our breath, as you know, so that the tests come clear, we hope. And he didn't do anything. He's a fragile human being. It's not God's punishment. We're fragile human beings. But that's a cross people bear of illness and distress and suffering. Now, the ones we behave ourselves into, we probably know what those are. And sometimes they're long-lasting, and sometimes they're short-term. But Jesus had a cross of love that was invisible on his shoulders. As he healed and challenged and fed and served and preached and comforted. The cross of love was embedded in him. The cross on which he was crucified was imposed on him from outside forces. The cross of love he chose. And that cross has been handed down to us, his followers. The cross of loving sacrifice, of forgiveness and mercy, of loving our enemies, of building relationships across all the lines of division, religion, race, geography, nation. The cross of the stronger looking out for the weaker, of calling ourselves and each other to bring forth our gifts, to work for the service of the common good. Many may say that's naive, Pollyanna-ish, and it's the hardest way that we'll ever choose. Love. This is no easier today than it was in Jesus' day. It's countercultural. So I ask you to close your eyes. Will you bear the cross of love? Eyes are closed. This is your response. If yes, put your hand on your heart and then make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Know the cost. You may need some time to think about that response. The cross is invisible, but you'll know it's there. The cross of love. Remember that God is with you as we follow the way of Jesus and we build the peaceable kingdom one holy moment at a time. Someone would check in with